Welcome to the Skies We're Under podcast, hosted by me, Rachel Wright. This podcast is created by and for parents of people with disabilities and the many practitioners who support us. It's just for all of us who are trying to get from one end of the week to the other whilst bridging the gap between the life we expected and the one we're actually living.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm the founder and director of Born the Right Time. I'm a qualified nurse and I've got a lovely young man who has complex disabilities but loves swimming, loves music and really loves Pointless. I wrote the memoir, The Skies I'm Under, and I'm thrilled you joined us for another episode of The Skies We're Under podcast. It's a place where we share stories of fellow parents, get useful information and connect with each other so we can feel a little less alone and a little more understood. This week, I'm joined on the pod by Sarah Clayton. She's the CEO of Simple Stuff Works. She's a bit of a postural care geek and the mum of four. Her eldest daughter is a survivor of brain tumour and has medical complexities and learning disabilities. So we are delighted this week to be talking to Charlie Bezick. Hopefully there will be an extract on social media with Charlie doing her nativity impression. She is the founder of Our Altered Life. You can find her across all social media platforms. And this week she tells us what we all need to know. Just before we get into this week's podcast, I want to bring up something that was discussed last week in the podcast and that I've been challenged to rethink. And, well, two things really. Firstly, in the conversation that I had with Sharon and the reflection that we had afterwards, Sarah and I talked about the difference between the caregiver experience and the disabled person's experience. And in our conversation, we inadvertently didn't acknowledge the experience of disabled caregivers and did this linear there's them and us, which is entirely not our intention. And I want to acknowledge and validate and to apologise to disabled caregivers that we didn't recognise you within that conversation. And also recognise that Sarah and I very much on a process of thinking about this stuff. And when we talked about how other people view disabled people, it was a very broad stroke and that's not necessarily true. And actually, if we really stop and think about it, although we believe ourselves to be more advanced and to have a more evolved way of thinking, too often we're projecting our own fears of what other people are thinking, because actually they're what, deep down, they're the construct that we have been, they're the ideas that we have been thinking and are trying to unravel in ourselves. So that was a bit of a blurb, but it's just an apology. Apology for getting it wrong last week in some ways, trying to learn, trying to do it better. And if you ever hear something on the Skies We're Under podcast or in the work that we do at the right time, and you think, I think they could do that better, let us know. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to change. And I promise we will make more mistakes. I'll let you get on. This is a trigger warning to say in my conversation with Charlie, we talk about depression and mental health issues, including self-harm. If you feel that your mental health might be affected negatively by listening to her story, then please pass over this episode and go to another one. Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 9 of the Skies Wonder podcast. I am delighted to be sitting across the country from my dear friend, Sarah Clayton, for another episode of the podcast. How are you, Sarah?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. Look, I've got my winging it jumper on.
Yeah.
Do you remember when everybody had a winging it jumper?
Yeah. I've got a similar, wasn't it? I've got a similar grey hoodie, but with my rainbow.
Very nice pride rainbow. I like it.
I feel like social media is trying to make me feel bad and gaslight me.
Why?
Because I keep getting ads for curly hair. I do love watching the transformation of curly hair. So I obviously have watched one or two too many, because now I just, my feed is filled with people with curly hair. And all the different, you know, and I get all these ads saying, you might want this product. It's like, I don't actually have curly hair. My hair is absolutely straight. All those people that are spending money on their Facebook ads.
And do you know
it's
what?
Wasted.
Absolutely. Do you know the curly hair thing? See, I went all the way through school, 1980s, 1990s, with... I had a perm.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Had a perm. I used to do a thing with my hair where I'd like fluff the front of it with a brush.
Okay.
Like one of those very, very, lots and lots and lots of bristles. Yeah. And I'd like fluff the front of it so it looked a bit like a shredded wheat. And then I would then spray it until it had the same consistency as a shredded wheat. And I thought, yes. My youngest, she's got curly hair. And she's got the most, she's long, blonde, curly hair that people would pay a lot of money for. So what we do every morning is we straighten the curly hair with an element of fury. I know, with, you know, and you're just like, I look at her and I see like, and she's got that, she wants to be like one of the clones, you know, she, you know, the clone
hopefully she'll
girls.
I
really, really hope that she will one day. Sometimes I wish, you know, like Freaky Friday. Yeah. Do you remember Freaky Friday?
The film?
Yeah, swap body. Not for long, just for maybe like 20 seconds, and for her to look in the mirror and have like a 48-year-old
looking back.
Look back and get some bloody perspective, girl. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Perspective, though. The other thing social media is telling me is, did you get the ad recently about the jumpsuit that's changing the world?
World peace.
I don't know. It's like
world peace from an item of clothing that if you sit incorrectly,
gives you the biggest wedge
on the thrush.
That you have to strip naked just to do a piss.
Dangle your arms in somebody else's pee on the floor. Nice.
It's going to change the world, people. I feel like I'm wrangling so many things. There's... Yeah, it's familiar, isn't it? It's that jumping from all the different people, but it's also jumping from the micro to the macro. Do you know what I mean? It's jumping from the lunchbox, school dinner, is the uniform washed, to the mid stuff. Like, we've not thought of the birthday presents yet a month before. You know, we need to start thinking about the birthdays that are coming up and what we're doing. Is there going to be parties? Is there not going to be parties? Is there going to be presents? Is it, you know, how are we going to do that? And then the macro of school leaving, and have I done that form? And is that stuff still happening? And should I be chasing that up? And this hasn't happened at school this week. How much of a fuss do I make? How much of a noise do I make? And
it's like those some massive, massive life decisions coming up at the same time as trying to work out what to put in the lunchbox.
I know. And I do have a child that basically will only, the other morning, I was trying to get him his lunchbox and we didn't have any cucumber, which, you know, you'd think that's all right. We had plenty of other things in the house, but he basically won't eat anything else in a sandwich. Anything. Like, do you want like
a cucumber sandwich?
He goes to school like some, like he's out, just come out of some Danielle Steele novel from the Vicarage. It's just like, he's like the quintessential English vicar.
English boy.
I'll have my cucumber sandwich, sir. Thanks.
With some lemonade.
Yeah, I have no idea why. Cucumber's the only thing. No cheese. We don't generally have ham. I occasionally splash out and buy my son pate because we don't eat a lot of meat. But yeah, none of it. My middle son makes himself lunch and inevitably just puts jam in it because basically he just takes himself cake to school.
I love a jam
sandwich and white bread. I'm like, that is just cake. You're just taking
Would
cake.
You put butter?
I think he does do.
Would you
put... I would do butter, absolutely.
I would do salted butter on white bread with strawberry jam. I'll be thrilled.
Yeah, a big, I like a big doorstop type, you know, cut off the, you know, big, thick jam. Yeah, totally. That's what he takes. But no, he won't even have that, won't have that, won't have honey. So I'm just like trying to find crackers that he'll eat. Oh, it's just disaster. It's like, honestly, just because we don't have cucumber. Anyway, today on the podcast, we have Charlie Beswick. And you may find it's a bit echoey, but hopefully at the start of the interview, you'll understand why. Born at the Right Time's vision is to create a world where families of people with complex disabilities are valued and supported. We put the lived experience of families at the heart of our work to support parent carers, deliver CPD certified training to practitioners, and influence policy makers and providers. So whether it's to feel connected to fellow parents or find out how we can support your organisation to work with families better, contact us through our website, bornatherighttime.com today. I'm so delighted that under a blanket across the country in Stoke-on-Trent, we have Charlie. Because we've just discovered her office is really quite echoey.
Echoey.
And so it's not even a blanket, is it? I think you've got a tea towel on your head, haven't you? You've gone full nativity.
I absolutely have. I'm a wise man, woman.
That's it. I'm one of the three queens.
Absolutely.
I'm not really sure that tea towel's doing anything to the audio.
Is it not?
No. I think you should just take the tea towel off.
The visual is impressive. But okay.
But it's because there's an exciting reason. Tell us. So first of all, introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm not in a cave. However, I am in a new office. So my name is Charlie Beswick. I am mum to twin boys, Oliver and Harry, who turned 19 this year in June. And when the boys were born, we realised that Harry had been, he'd been born with a rare condition called Golden Heart Syndrome. So for him, it meant that he'd got no eye, no eye socket, no ear, no nostril, short underdeveloped jaw, all on the left-hand side. And he's also autistic as well. So functions much, much younger than his sort of, you know, birth age. So we have lots of challenges. We have lots of fun. And I was a teacher when the boys were born, but could only do that part-time once childcare before and after school club provision stopped for Harry. So I now teach 2 days a week up until July. And I have a company called Our Altered Life, which is the name of my book as well. And that has a few different arms. So I spin a few plates. I like to say I can spin like a Greek and smash them like a badass. So that's kind of like my motto in life. Or is it the other way around? Spin like a badass and smash them like a Greek. Maybe that's a bit better. But yeah, so that's me. And the echoey reason is because I'm in an office in Stoke-on-Trent. It's beautiful. It's a Grade 2 listed building.
Oh, so posh.
It's, well, I'm not, because it's an enterprise.
So I'm in a shed. I'm in a shed at the bottom of my garden.
Well, that's fine too. But this was like cheap as chips because it's an enterprise centre. And I just found that being at home, I didn't get as much done as I would have liked. And because, you know, I want to go for funding and things like that. So I thought somewhere that people could come that's not my home to have meetings and things like that would be a little bit more appropriate. But the building I'm in has got like a vaulted ceiling.
It looks beautiful.
It's lovely.
Just not very podcast friendly.
Not very conducive to a good podcast now. However, you know, the tea towel, I feel added a little bit of extra that your other guests don't bring, but whatever.
I can tell you now, you are the first guest who has ever put a tea towel on her head.
Fantastic.
To increase the quality of the content.
I am a trailblazer, let me tell you.
You are a trailblazer. That is very true. So this season of podcast, we're asking lots of different people in different walks of life to tell us something we need to know. As parent carers, we are so stretched. We don't have time to do all the things that we want to do. So what I want to give people is little bite-sized chunks of information or knowledge or thoughts or insights that they can go, interesting, and maybe dig a little deeper, or I'll park that because I ain't got the space for that right now. So what would you love other people to know whether that's something that you wish you'd knew sooner or became apparent in the work that you do and the life that you have.
Wow. Okay. So the work that I do supports parent carers personally and in the workplace as well. So I'm kind of coming at this from a few different perspectives, I guess. But from one mum to another, or from one parent to another, you'll have dads listening, I'm sure. I would say something I wish I'd known earlier was not to believe everything you think about yourself. So I was consumed by guilt. We didn't know that Harry was going to be born with his disabilities. I grieved for the life that I wouldn't have, that the relationship that the boys would never know, for the life that Harry would never have. And I beat myself up and I said things to myself that I would never, ever say to anybody else. Mm. I was so mean. And I think, you know, our brains can trick us and our brains can be, yeah, just not a friend sometimes. Mm. So I think I wish somebody had sat me down and just said, you know, you're being harsh, you're being horrible to yourself. You wouldn't be like this to a best friend. And it's not true. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true about yourself. So I think that's probably the first thing is not to believe everything that you tell yourself. And I think the second thing would be to take one day at a time, because everything is so unknown. Everything feels, as a parent carer, you feel like life's happening at you rather than with you. And you can feel really quite passive and quite vulnerable in that state. And so we try and grab onto everything we can. We try and do everything, fix everything as quickly as we can and try and get some sort of sense of control. And to a degree, we can control, you know, how we feel, what we think to a degree. But I think we have to just take one day at a time, be kind to ourselves and just breathe and take it a day at a time. Nothing changes, you know, sort of instantly overnight. But if you can take one day at a time, those little tiny incremental either progresses or changes, they all mount up. And I just think we have to be a little bit patient.
So true. I remember feeling and still feel at times like it all needs to be done yesterday. I know that in my other children that if I don't sit and do 15 minutes reading, they'll still end up reading. Mm-hmm. If I don't teach them really explicitly how to roll and sit and walk, they'll still walk. Mm-hmm. And that yet with my eldest, there was this huge unknown. And with that unknown came this monumental pressure to be the person to make this stuff happen. And yeah. if I don't do it, who's going to do it? And if I don't make somebody else do it, then it's not going to get done. And straddling this future that you can't even imagine, never mind predict or see. Like my capacity to dream went not in a, well, both in a kind of good dream type way, but just in an imagining way, because I couldn't see my life anymore. I couldn't see my world anymore. Yeah. And yeah, there was a shift when I stopped. No, I didn't stop. I tried to stop hankering after an unknown future and actually spending more time looking at what was around me and what was within my control.
Yeah.
And not just my control as in I could have influence, but that I'm actually capable of having influence with my capacity, time and energy. Because because I can't, you know, theoretically I can do it in that it's in my skill set, doesn't mean I've got the ability to within the limited resources that I have. When do you think some of those changes for you happened, and was there anything that catalyzed that shift?
So I think the self-talk, my boys were 4 when their dad and I separated and later divorced, and the boys were 6 when I had a breakdown and realized that I'd been incredibly cruel to myself, and I'd been telling myself that everything was my fault, that I was the only one responsible for, as you say, you know, fixing it all, making it all better for everybody around. And the burden of responsibility, because I'd been the one that decided to separate. So I felt that I'd, you know, sort of taken the dad out of the picture, really, and through my choice. And there were lots of reasons that we did that, and we get on incredibly well now. But I hit really, really rock bottom, decided I didn't want to be here anymore, got an exit plan. My mom knew that and kind of intervened and dragged me to the doctors
and said, you know, my daughter needs saving from herself. And I was so ashamed. I was so very ashamed. And he put me on antidepressants for a while. I was on them for a good few years. And I think I was terrified that I was going to turn into this performing monkey even more than I am now, Rachel, with my tea towel and all sorts. And I just thought, what if I just spin out of control and I become this crazy fool? And actually all it did was just return me to a place of calm and logic, and it stopped me being so mean. And from that point, I was able to look back and say, wow, like, yeah, okay, I was being really, really hard on myself. Mm. And I think we're really good, you've just alluded to actually, about sort of saying what needs to be done, what haven't I done, what, you know, what's in the future. And we never say, what have I achieved? Let's just look back and see how far I have come and how well I have. We don't do that as mums, let alone send mums.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been a teacher for 20 years and I taught in primary school for 9 of them. And I've seen children abused and neglected. And those parents don't beat themselves up. Those parents don't question themselves. We question ourselves because we care, because we're amazing. Mm. And sometimes I have to go, listen, my kids are fed. They are loved. They are safe. They are warm. They have a lot more than some of the other children that I've seen firsthand have got. And yeah, I think just that idea of perfection, I let that go. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I let that go. I think once I realised it was serving me, and more importantly, it wasn't serving my kids.
Oh, so true. It's not just, so it has both the internal and external impact, doesn't it? So it's not serving me in that I'm less effective, less efficient, less myself, but also it's not nice to witness. It's not nice to... You know, everything we do and feel, and whether we try to, I mean, there's no hiding it from people. There's no hiding, especially from your kids.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a brutal conversation with my youngest. I'm a bit worried that you're working too much. It's like, okay. because no matter what you know, I'm worried you're a bit stressed, Mum. All right, so that's a wake up, actually.
Yeah, of course.
That means something needs to be different, because
no
matter what I think I'm holding together, that's not what is being seen. So
yeah, sure. I think sometimes we just have to take a step back and see ourselves, try to see ourselves as other people do, and just be a little bit kinder to ourselves.
Yeah, be kinder to ourselves. That is a message we can all take home. Thank you so much, Charlie, for coming onto the podcast. It's been really exciting. We will have all the places we can find you and all your work and the things that you do in the show notes. And we really look forward to seeing how your business changes and grows. And do you want to tell us, give a quick summary of where people can find you and how useful you can be in their lives?
No pressure. So ouralteredlife.com is the website to head to, and that will have all the links about the different ways I can support people. It's probably easier just to signpost people there.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
See you. Bye. Thank you, Charlie, for coming on the podcast. We will, in the show notes, give you all the information about Charlie. Sarah, was Charlie's message of kindness something that you needed to hear today?
I think that you know me quite well, Rachel. What I'm going to do, what I might do is I might get, like, I could record Charlie as my ringtone and she could be like my alert for my alarm in the morning. She could be the alarm that goes off when the dinner's done. And it could just be, it's not just hearing it today. I think it's that thing of hearing it every, like possibly every 8 minutes. Do you know what struck me? What really struck me is that we all end up at some point at some kind of breaking point, I think, because none of us are born with the skills to deal
with
all this. Yeah. Yeah. And so we have some, I remember very clearly in the early days when everything was very medical and very high stakes decisions, high stakes interventions. And there was a sense of, you just got to get through it. Put your head down. My saying to myself was, put your head down, put one foot in front of the other. Do not look up. Yep. Don't look around.
It's scary up there. Just do the next right thing.
Yeah. And then at some point you have to look up. I remember asking about support for parents, probably about 12 months in. And I asked her oncologist about support for parents. And he was the kindest man that I have probably ever met, just a genuinely good man. And he just said, a paraphrase, but it was along the lines of, I'm so, so sorry if, like, we just don't have mental health support for parents. And there's a little, but by the time you get it, she'll have left here. She'll have transitioned to adult services. So there just is this desperate lack. You know that people are going to fall apart at some point. It's not that you've failed in your, like, this test that you've got. It's that it's going to happen. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, it's the predictable evolution of repeated traumatic events. And our brain's tendency to fuel those messages with other messages of not enough, failed on this, failed on that. Mm. I totally get what you mean about, like, every 8 minutes, because... And we do, you know, the psychology, if we had Lucy here, she'd probably tell us the psychology behind it. But that whole, you know, we're geared up to see the negative, you know, we're geared up to see, and we have to choose to be intentional about choosing to focus on the good stuff that we've done. And even just the moderate, like just the doing anything markers in our day, and massively turn down the volume of the noises that are screaming the things that we haven't done.
Yeah, and it's that, and it's also it's catching yourself when you're heading down an old familiar rabbit hole, working out whether it's helpful, thinking about whether there is an alternative way of thinking of things. And that's really hard work.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing of hearing it every 8 minutes, is that those really well-worn pathways, they're just motorways, aren't they, for our thoughts. They're the easy routes that we go down, and we do it without even thinking. I love what Charlie said as well about patience, because I'm known for my patience.
Give me an example of that patience, Mrs. Clayton.
Oh, God. I've told you before that I bought a hot tub during lockdown. That's like the epitome of somebody who can't think straight when they get something in their head. It's just bloody ridiculous. I don't have patience. I've never been patient. I try really hard. But I think the vulnerability that we all feel, that makes me want to do stuff. Like, just that sense of helplessness, you know, anxiety. It's like, I'll fix it. Uh-huh. I know how to fix it. I should straighten the iron, you know.
Do some more piles of clothes.
All that stuff.
Oh, and it's that, it sounds so cliche, isn't it? Just be kind. Like, don't say stuff to your brain that you wouldn't say to other people. It's so... It feels so stupidly obvious. So ridiculously
obvious. But you know what as well? It's that thing, isn't it? Don't say something to yourself that you wouldn't dream of saying to somebody else. But also, if I heard somebody else saying those things to themselves, I'd be like, oh, get a grip, woman. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I don't think I'd have, like, again, about the patience thing, I'd almost be like, get a grip. And yet...
All right, boomer.
I know. I don't...
Come on,
the 1950s.
I know.
Come on, pull your socks
people
up.
That have fought in the war, you know.
I'd get you a boy. He'd sort me out. Get that stiff upper lip in place.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I think it would annoy me some of the things I say to myself. If I heard them in somebody else, they'd annoy me. I'd be thinking,
broken
no,
record.
Come on, you got to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's not very kind either.
I would get really frustrated with myself when I am thinking the same old things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's back to the same kindness of us to ourselves though, isn't it?
Yeah.
To make the same mistakes.
100%. I know that I mentioned last week about my long and interesting conversation with a mental health professional. And she was like, what would success look like? And I was like, success would look like not having two trains running in my brain all the time, one of which is just always on this stuff and the other one is working out, like, what am I going to do today? Yeah. What have I got? You know, yeah. like kind of just shut her up, please.
Yeah.
Just like that is what success would look like. Yeah. Being having that ability to let it, like, let it go a bit.
To not be so entangled.
Yeah. To do, I need to do an Elsa.
Let it go. Let it go.
Totally. Mm-hmm. The final thing I think that really, I mean, she was, how long did Charlie talk? And in that time, it was like, oh, that and that and that. She was like a highly concentrated cordial of fabulousness.
Quadruple.
Whereas I'm like a
quadruple. Yeah. Just strength.
But that idea of us celebrating our achievements.
Yeah.
And just a huge shout out to Debs Asplund and the BAPS Awards, the Bloody Awesome Parents Awards. If you don't know them, then look them up. They are just brilliant.
Okay, we've come to the end of today's podcast for another week. And I want to leave us with a lovely message that I got on Facebook from Lucy, not our Lucy. Some mother Lucy.
She's not allowed to send us congratulatory messages.
She can do if she wants.
And she wouldn't have the time. God, you're amazing.
I've just discovered your podcast, Lucy says, and I wish I'd known about it years ago. It's making me laugh, cry, shout, and everything in between. OMG, so much of it. I can bloody relate to it all. I've started from the beginning and I'm working my way through each episode, although I've also listened to most recent ones. I have an 11-year-old daughter who was born with congenital CMV and was severely brain damaged as a result. It has been a lonely journey at times, so discovering podcasts like this is great. I think over the years I've learned to compartmentalise, really, as a coping method, and hearing what you all have to say has helped me acknowledge it all again. Anyway, I'll stop rambling. Just want to say, love it. Oh, thanks, Lucy. Love you. Ouch. This is why we show up. Apart from the fact we're lovely just to have a natter. Let's be honest. If no one listened, Sarah and I would still be here ranting,
wittering
away. It makes us feel like, well, we can try and persuade our husbands and stuff and work that this is really work. But actually, we love it. We do love doing the podcast and we really love hearing messages like that where it's making you feel less alone and making you feel like the thoughts in your head, yes, you're going to be saying horrible things to yourself and don't beat yourself up, but also be kind because it's okay and you're doing good things. So thanks, Lucy, for writing in. You know how to contact us at the podcast, or you can email at tswupodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow the link either in our link tree or on our website to leave a speak pipe and tell us your thoughts, your questions. We'd love to hear from you. Sarah, thank you so much again for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
See you. Bye.
See you later.
Skies Are Under podcast is a Born at the Right Time production with thanks to audio engineer Tom Whitehead, to our guests for sharing their stories, expertise and very precious time. A special thanks goes to the extravagant sponsors of the podcast. We'd love it if you could review, rate and share the podcast with fellow parents and practitioners. You can also join in the conversation by sending in your stories, comments, questions and reasons to celebrate to tswupodcast@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Born at Right Time. We love you joining us for the ride as we hurtle along this off-piste version of parenting. It's so much better when we do it together. Whatever skies we're under.